live and local.
Those are two major positives.
With Braden and Fitz mornings at 6.
It was a gritty effort.
3D 10 to 2.
It's starting to gain a lot of steam.
He's a difference maker.
And Jared in the GM afternoon.
It speaks volumes.
They can all score points.
No one covers the Preds, Titans, and the SEC like Nashville's best sports talk.
ESPN.
102.5 The Game. This is what you missed.
Missed it by that much.
They're an older, experienced team that's done it before.
And I don't know what any of that means. Older, experienced team that's done it before. No, that is not actual analysis.
They've won a Super Bowl. They've been to another one.
Okay, fine. All of these teams are 1-1. Look at all of their records. What the hell is the difference between any of these damn teams?
Now, from the studios of ESPN, the Game Nashville.
With Buck Rising,
the grin on your face right now makes all of this worth it.
And Julian Council.
I got a date with my 42-inch living room TV.
I thought that was going a completely different direction.
The Technically Foul Podcast, an exclusive feature of thegamenashville.com. Now, here are Buck and Julian.
Backed by no one's demand but our own, and from our Wholesale Inc. of Mount Juliet Studios here in Music City, we are on the air. Buck Rising with you. Julian Council across from me. You can troll the show and interact with us on Twitter, unless you're a Titans fan in my mentions, at Buck Rising, at Julian Council, at 102.5 The Game, and at 94.9 Game 2. And of course, as always, we invite you to rate and review the podcast in the iTunes store. It helps us. What? I'm shilling early.
You're not going to tell people to follow the Buzz, 102.9 The Buzz, and 102.1 DeVille?
Should I just run through the whole cluster?
Is there like a 93.9 too? Classic hits?
Oh, I don't know.
I mean, come on. There's three other stations in the cluster.
No, I'm shilling for podcast rating and reviews, because apparently the metrics on those things, the more 5 stars we get, the more we get noticed. And I want all of the clicks that you people can give me.
You're not going to tell them to follow Dagwood on Twitter?
Who?
And Squeegee? And Ziggs?
Who are these people you speak of? They sound like cartoon characters.
Haley?
Oh, so we've got a bunch of stuff to get to today. We're going to talk about week 4 of the college football slate. We're not going to spend I don't particularly care to spend any time on Butch Jones and the University of Tennessee Vols as they square off in Neyland Stadium against 0-4 UMass.
They should have left his ass in Columbia last year after they blew that game and blew the East.
Oh, my goodness. So we will, though, talk about the Vanderbilt Commodores hosting the number one team in the country, the Alabama Crimson Tide.
Not my number one.
Not in my record book. You are not number one in my record book, Nick Saban, in Julian Council's own personal record book. We will talk about the memo drafted by NFL players to Roger Goodell.
Oh, God.
I'm kidding. You should have just seen the way that Julian Council's shoulders slumped. No, it's a Thursday. We're going to have fun. Relax. It's going to be okay. Look at you.
I just can't.
I didn't think it was going to get you that bad.
Why can't the PA and Roger Goodell, why can't they just get along? I'm just so...
Can't we be friends?
The NFL, the play on the field is so bad already that we have to sit here, we have to listen to Ezekiel Elliott court cases, we have to all go to law school to understand what an injunction is.
Who's ever
going to play.
Before you make it any farther with your rant, have you seen how fat Ezekiel Elliott looks?
What? Is he fat now?
He's fat as hell. Like, they put up pictures of him at the start of last season and now, and like those abs that he's so proud of with the rolled up jersey.
They're gone.
Like, he looks like he's got a pot belly. Like, he looks like me if they tried to squeeze me into a Dallas Cowboys player uniform.
I get it, man. I've been to Pecan Lodge down in Dallas. Good stuff.
He looks...
That brisket's real
man.
Good. But it's
okay,
just crazy.
Proceed.
This NFL and the terrible play. The fact that we got Rams 49ers tonight is a Thursday night game.
Well, yeah, because the Titans are too good to put on Thursday night football now. They got to put the 49ers in the Rams.
I miss Titans Jags. I mean, the game of the year in the NFL will obviously be the Browns and the Jets. Joe Thomas, Browns offensive lineman.
When is that happening this year?
It's happening.
Ugh.
It's happening. The game of the year. Ugh. Joe Thomas is the offensive lineman for the Cleveland Browns. Says at 0-2 right now, at an 0-2 start where your quarterback left, Deshaun Kizer, the rookie quarterback, left the game early. this past weekend.
Migraines.
Because of migraines.
He's having a hard time with Cleveland.
Yeah, that's the 2017 athlete right there. Yeah, I have such a headache, I can't even sit here and play a game.
I can no longer suffer through
for some reason,
this slop.
Joe Thomas believes it's their year. I don't know how or where he got that from, but the NFL, the poor play, and then the constant bickering between the NFLPA and Roger Goodell, and the fact that Morris Smith, the president of the NFLPA.
I said we're not going to talk about this, and look at you just hijacking the station, the segment with your gas battery because you are tired of it.
I'm just tired of it.
They should be ashamed of themselves.
I'm just tired because DeMora Smith is now, he's the reelected president unanimously, and we're going to have
What the hell?
He agreed to the terrible CBA, whatever the hell, collective bargaining agreement they have now. And Roger Goodell, they can't even agree that Christmas Day is on December 25th. So there's going to be a work stoppage in 2021. I'm just so tired of all the legalese you have to talk about with the NFL, all the domestic violence. And I'm just so sick of dudes like Case Keenum playing football. Get Case Keenum the hell off my television.
Start on Sunday because Sam Bradford has a mysterious
Brian
knee.
Hoyer is the starting quarterback for the San Francisco 49ers. He's going to start tonight. And they haven't scored a touchdown.
In two games, they are one of two teams in this league.
I'm sick.
Two teams
and tired
without a touchdown.
How's it possible? Eli Manning's head coach.
Ben McAdoo
is throwing Eli Manning under the bus Eric Flowers is being...
an actual turnstile at left tackle.
He's being picked
you
up.
You have a subway turnstile at left tackle.
He's being picked up and thrown
your quarterback
into
murdered.
The Hudson River every time the ball is snapped. And it's Eli's fault. God. Just please tell me we're playing LaGreca audio.
Oh, for sure. But
carry on. I'm just sick of it. I'm tired.
Seahawks, Titans?
I'm just here. New rule. I'm stealing.
You're so right, though.
I'm telling you right now.
What?
If there's a game, NFL game on your television, and two offensive touchdowns are not scored in the first half, you turn it off.
Oh, by far.
Turn it off.
The NFL is cannibalizing themselves with the red zone because now you have eight games going at once. Once the NFL Sunday starts, and then you get left with the Thursday night football game by itself and the Monday night football game by itself, and you're watching this by itself and thinking, what the hell is this?
Is there really a red zone channel? Are teams getting in the red zone?
Apparently not. Two of them can't score. Two of them without touchdowns through 2 weeks.
People can't even score.
Through 2 weeks.
I mean, this is the year where Justin Tucker might actually become league MVP because there will be no touchdown scored.
Oh, I'm telling you, man. We are... so close to a kicker or a punter being the MVP of this league. I am actively in the tank for Brett Kern of the Tennessee Titans.
You know how bad, NFL scoring and offense and league overall play is bad when Alex Smith, after 2 weeks, is the front runner to be the MVP.
MVP. Listen, you're the one who wants a Joe Webb, Alex Smith Super Bowl. Like, are you trying to commit suicide watching television?
Well, I just want a Joe Webb, Alex Smith AFC Championship game right now.
Ah, okay.
Joe Webb's in Baltimore.
Survival of the fittest.
Yeah, he's in Buffalo. And eventually Tyrod Taylor will get benched, even though it's not his fault that his offense is terrible. And eventually Nathan Peterman will be Nathan Peterman, and they'll have no choice but to put Joe Webb under center, and he will lead them to glory in a loss in Kansas City.
So we will talk about a quarterback who has an awful offensive line, the quarterback who will be coming here on Sunday to face the Tennessee Titans. That, of course, is Russell Wilson of the Seattle Seahawks. He's been having some problems. Their offense has looked constipated, and the defense is tired of it. We'll talk about that game on the other side. You're listening to Technically Foul, the podcast, on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Sports experts, from a college athlete turned announcer,
ask any player,
to a pro football all-purpose yards leader,
best player on the board,
to a living sports encyclopedia.
They can score at will, but they're not very good at defending.
Darren McFarland, Derek Mason, and Willie Donick make up 3D. Weekdays at 10 on Nashville's best sports talk,
ESPN
102.5 The Game.
Julian Council.
Come on, man. What are we doing out there, man?
Buck Rising.
Honestly, what the f*** are we doing here?
This is Technically Foul with Buck Rising and Julian Council.
Oh, boy. All right.
Come on, big fella. You
join 102.5 The Game's Brandon Gall at Beyond the Edge this Saturday for the College Football Watch Party. This week's game will feature the Vanderbilt Commodores facing off in Nashville, against Alabama. Kickoff is at 2:30 p.m. There will also be great drink specials from Pickers Vodka and New Heights Beer. Beyond the Edge is located at 112 South 11th Street in East Nashville.
Okay. So, Brandon Gall, of course, will be there. Oh. Not Brandon Gall.
Sorry.
Don't know who Brandon Gall is.
Brendan.
Brendan?
Yeah.
Can we call him Brendan Gall? How mad do you think he would be? Couldn't be any madder than he gets when we call him Brayden.
He should
Brandon. I don't even know what his real name is.
He should blame his parents for not naming him Brandon.
Okay. So, as we bemoan the state of the NFL, we do have an NFL game here on Sunday. The Seattle Seahawks will come to Nissan Stadium to square off against the Tennessee Titans. The Titans are a 2.5-point favorite. Can you believe that? Does that surprise you at all?
Seeing as Seattle's been terrible offensively, I guess not. They wouldn't get my money, that's for damn sure.
So this is not as formidable as of an opponent as Titans fans may fear. You look at Seattle's offense, they needed almost two full games before they were able to score a touchdown against the Green Bay Packers defense, who plays for them? Some guy named Mike Daniels. That's the Darrell Casey of the NFC. Never heard of the guy.
Who is Mike Daniels?
Exactly.
I went to high school with Mike Daniels.
The Darrell Casey of the NFC.
Pretty sure their defensive tackle,
who's apparently Reggie White reincarnate.
Pretty sure he lived in my dorm freshman year.
Anyway, so you have them struggling to score against Green Bay, and you have not scoring a touchdown against Green Bay, and finally getting a touchdown, but only putting up 12 points against Julian Council's San Francisco 49ers. So they're only averaging 10.5 points through two weeks, and the offensive line is an absolute sieve. Okay, they can't pass protect. They can't open up holes for significant gains on the ground. Russell Wilson now looks so skittish from getting mugged in the pocket that his mechanics look to have regressed. And I was watching some of the throws people were posting, isolated like GIFs, and videos of Russell Wilson against the 49ers, and it looks like he's throwing off his back foot. He's uncomfortable even when he's outside the pocket and nobody's around him, and he's sailing balls. Mm-hmm. Like, he should have had at least two passes by my count that were intercepted against the 49ers, and he got away with it because the 49ers are awful. Yep. But I said on Tuesday that the Jaguars are basically the 49ers except with a better quarterback. I don't even think Seattle's quarterback looks better. I think Russell Wilson looked to be a bigger problem than the offensive line against the 49ers.
You know what I think? I think his offensive line are big Future fans. I think they love Future, and they just don't like Russell.
Oh, my God.
They love Future's music so much they don't want to block for this guy.
Russell Wilson, of course, married to Ciara, who has Future's child.
Mm-hmm. Yes, she does.
Yes. They are big Future fans. They are allowing Russell Wilson to get mugged in the pocket. But I'm telling you, Julian, John Glennon, who's doing some work for Titans Online right now, wrote a really good article about the offensive line here in Nashville, the Tennessee Titans offensive line. Taylor Lewan, Jack Conklin, Ben Jones, Josh Klein, and the number 67, I'm forgetting. Quentin Spain.
Yes.
Quentin Spain. And how this offensive line in Nashville is bucking the trend of not being atrocious like every other bleeping offensive line in the league. We talked about in the first segment, Eli Manning getting blamed by his coach for everything. Well, not for everything, but in certain situations where Eli looked hesitant to call the play or looked hesitant to carry out the play. And it's because he got sacked 5 times. Like Eric Flowers, their left tackle, looked absolutely defeated, not on certain plays, but on every play because he was consistently getting beat. And so now you have Russell Wilson, who you've paid all this money to. You can't afford to have a good offensive line, and it's totally hijacking your entire team.
Well, they could afford it. They just decided J.R. Sweezy, we don't want to pay you. Russell Okung, we don't want to pay you.
And Russell Okung's not even any good.
Well, he struggled last year in Denver. Where's he at now? Isn't he like in Kansas City?
I have no earthly idea where
he's
Russell
somewhere.
Okung is.
Siri, where is Russell Okung? Sorry, not Siri, Alexa. Yeah, man, this offensive line's terrible. And I will never understand how he's in San Diego, Russell Okung. I will never understand how a franchise, and John Snyder's the GM there in Seattle, who's done a terrific job being able to pay all those guys in the secondary and keep that Super Bowl core together.
The defense is still murderous.
Yes, they still are. I just will never understand how a franchise can have its largest asset, which is Russell Wilson, in this case, be unprotected by a terrible offensive line. Carolina's done the same thing. Looks like they have the same issues because that offensive line gave up 6 sacks this past week into Buffalo. Bills do have a pretty good defensive line with Kyle Williams and Jerry Hughes and them boys. I just don't understand it. How is it possible?
Indianapolis. Andrew Luck's still not on the field.
The number one example is Indianapolis. But
he might be the best quarterback in football.
That's just malpractice in the front office, not just from an offensive line standpoint back when Ryan Grigson was their old GM, but the fact that when he got injured, they did not get him surgery or hold him out when they should have 2 years ago. But I digress. It just is ridiculous to me that they're going to allow this to happen to Russell Wilson. Personally, it doesn't really bother me that much because I don't really like Russell. But because Russell's the dude who at 2:30 in the morning, he'll just wake up and he'll be like, oh, I just got to work out in. I just think about how.
You mean he's talking to himself it's a selfie video for himself, his fans on Twitter?
Yeah, for his fans on Twitter. He's like, I love y'all. I'm out here working for you. We're going to get a championship.
Go Hawks.
It's like, go Hawks.
Go Hawks.
Russell, shut the hell up. And it's April 17th, 2:30 a.m. Pacific time. Go to sleep. You are married to Sierra. Go to sleep. Go to sleep.
I would never leave the bedroom.
So I don't feel bad for that guy, but John Snyder and everyone, every GM out there who doesn't give their quarterback, especially a Super Bowl winning quarterback and caliber quarterback, A offensive line, you're an idiot and you should be fired.
And it's not like offensive line. I mean, understanding that the state of the college game has affected the offensive line play because, you've got offensive linemen who've never been in a three-point stance coming into the league, and they're getting drafted purely off potential.
Question.
What?
Alabama plays pro style.
Yeah.
Iowa somehow always has a great offensive lineman.
Wisconsin.
Scani, just draft all those guys.
Yeah, no, and that's
every single one whoever starts for Wisconsin, Iowa, Alabama, draft those guys.
And you look at what they've drafted
Arkansas.
Here. You look what they've drafted here. Jack Conklin from Michigan State,
pro style.
Taylor Lewan from Michigan,
pro style. Back when he was playing there.
Quentin Spain was undrafted. I don't remember off the top of my head where he went to college. Ben Jones from Georgia.
Yep.
I mean, it's
draft those guys.
It doesn't seem too complicated to draft offensive line who have had experience when you clearly see the rest of the league eroding.
Yeah.
Eroding around you.
Seattle, Jermaine Ifedi. Let's take him the first round out of Texas A&M.
Wasn't he a former basketball player?
Yeah, didn't really work out. Luke Jokel from Texas A&M. Jacksonville drafts him.
Second overall draft pick.
Don't.
It was a terrible draft.
Draft these guys from these systems, clearly. If it's a system and it's the problem, then don't draft them. Draft from Wisconsin, anywhere where they, Stanford, draft those guys.
Okay, but now Seattle's in a position, and this is as much more than the analysis of the game, this is where I kind of want to look at this, because Seattle made it to that Super Bowl. They won that Super Bowl with Russell Wilson still paying Russell Wilson dirt. Okay, he was on a cheap contract. What was he, a third-round draft pick? Do I have that right?
Third or fourth.
Later-round draft pick.
Mid-round.
And they had him on a ridiculously cheap deal, just as Dak Prescott is in Dallas, just as Marcus Mariota is here in Nashville. So now Russell Wilson is getting all of the money that a franchise quarterback should get.
Meanwhile, Sam Bradford's laughing.
even if they wanted to fix the offensive line, they now can't, because you can't afford players at a premium at that position, especially when you've shown absolute incompetence in the draft. Like, if you can't rely on the draft, you bring in the free agents. You may have to overpay, but now you can't because you're strapped by this quarterback contract.
Oh, you're seeing how much these guys are getting paid, like Okung and like Matt Khalil. Like, these guys
Khalil was terrible for the Vikings, and he got a huge deal with Carolina.
Yeah, to be a left tackle. And then thinking of Carolina's old right tackle, Mike Remmers, who I swear every time he played a game and gave up a sack or got a false start or holding penalty, I was tweeting out, please hand this guy a pink slip. Get him the hell out of town.
It's unbelievable.
He got a big deal with Minnesota.
Oh, yeah.
Then Minnesota's talking about, like, man, what a great addition Mike Remmers is. How is that even a thing?
Are you kidding me with that?
He's terrible.
Are you kidding me with that?
He cost him a Super Bowl. He literally is the lone reason why the Panthers lost the Super Bowl, because, other than the wide receivers being absolute dirt, because he could not block.
Von Miller might actually have shivved him mid-play. It looked like he was. Geez.
And who was the former Cowboy, DeMarcus Ware. Good Lord.
Just absolutely.
Mike Rimmers
brutalizing.
Single-handedly cost the Carolina Panthers the Super Bowl.
The larger point is, because they now cannot afford to fix the offensive line, you can't do anything about it because you're so strapped with cash. It's like overpaying Joe Flacco in Baltimore. This is why it's so important to capitalize on the weak division in the AFC South with the window that you have, because you've got one of the best offensive lines in football. Clearly, that's hard to come by, even though to the rest of us, it seems to make sense to draft players out of pro-style offenses.
It's not one of the best offensive lines in pro football.
It's a decent offensive line.
No. It's one of the only offensive lines in pro football.
And your quarterback's still cheap. So
yeah, he plays like it too.
The moral of the story is, with the rest of the league looking like it is, with your division so just decimated by injury and incompetence and just the poison that is seeping out of Jim Irsay and Indianapolis and infecting probably the best player in the sport.
That's alcohol.
Or whatever the pills he's carrying around in his briefcase, allegedly. You have to capitalize on this season, and you have the opportunity to do so on Sunday against a Seattle team that often starts slow and then picks up speed as the offense figures it out. You're getting them the third game in the season. You need to make a statement win, just because the rest of the league is so bad, and this is the time to do it while everybody else is trying to figure things out.
Mm-hmm.
We'll take a quick break. On the other side, we will talk about the other football team in town, the Vanderbilt Commodores. They will be hosting the number one Alabama Crimson Tide and Nick Saban on West End. We will do that on the other side. You're listening to Technically Foul, the podcast on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
You what they really think.
You could have gotten this guy at 18.
From Reaction Monday.
The Titans have no speed on defense.
To Hot Take Friday.
You want to get him right off the bat.
Jared and the GM have you covered weekdays 2 to 6.
I think at some point we'll get there.
On Nashville's best sports talk.
ESPN.
102.5 The Game.
Rising.
The minute you admit you're a D-bag, the easier life becomes. So I own it. I know what I am. I don't care.
Julian Council.
Well, it's for the rest of you to deal with.
This is Technically Foul with Buck Rising and Julian Council.
It's back! Listen NFL up, fans, don't miss NFL Football Sunday. Live from Bar Lines inside the Nashville Omni Hotel, featuring ESPN 102.5 The Game's Jason Fitz, Derek Mason, and Floyd Reese. Usually Sundays from 9:30 to 11:30, but this Sunday will be from 11:30 to 1:30 p.m.
Because that is when before the Tennessee Titans will face off with the Seattle Seahawks at Nissan Stadium. They have the afternoon game. So
go Mariners.
The Commodores, 3-0. After the big win over Kansas State at home last weekend, I was there in the press box. They now host the Alabama Crimson Tide, the number one team in the country, 2:30 game on CBS.
My number two team in the country, actually.
The Alabama Crimson Tide, yeah. Your number two? Yeah. Oh, in your personal record book.
Yeah, Clemson's number one.
Okay. Nick Saban, I hope you're aware. I hope you're listening. You are not in Julian Council's personal record book.
I'm shaking the hand of Darth Vader, and I live to survive. So I'm not scared. I ain't scared of you, Nick. I will buy one of your cars, though, if I can afford it.
Little Nicky?
I'm not afraid of you.
Out here shilling Mercedes-Benz in Nashville.
I ain't scared of nobody from West Virginia.
Oh, my goodness. I love those commercials, though. He sounds so robotic.
Well, are you surprised? Maybe the media should ask him something to get him fired up. He's the only guy to this day I've ever seen, only male I've ever seen, wearing pink and angry.
It really is true. Mm. I've never thought about
it. Like, how can you be angry wearing pink? Unless, like, maybe one of your family members got upset on Mother's Day and was wearing pink, because it's typically a day when people wear that color.
And he's just screaming.
Yeah, but it's just a Monday morning press conference, him just screaming after winning by, like, 50 points against Central Arkansas State.
So, in the Tennessean, Adam Sparks, who covers Vanderbilt, and he's the Tennessean's beat writer for Vanderbilt Athletics. He has an article in the Tennessean yesterday that says, do Vanderbilt football, Derek Mason, have better defense
than Alabama and Nick Saban. That is the title of the article. And at first glance, you say, of course not, because you're familiar with Vanderbilt football, the history of Vanderbilt football, how last year's 6-7 team was celebrated universally in this city because the expectations are so ridiculously low for that program. And now you're talking about a 3-0 team that's hosting the number one team in the country to open SEC play. And you're alleging that they might have a better defense than Alabama, who is perennially pumping out NFL draft picks on that side of the ball. Now, Vandy ranks number one in scoring defense and total defense. They've only allowed 4.3 points on average and 198.3 yards per game. Those numbers are incredible. Mm-hmm. But that's because they shut out an FCS team in Alabama A&M in the second week. Kansas State only put 7 on them because the offense didn't look to be any kind of dynamic. It just looked like they were running the quarterback Ertz the entire time. And when that didn't work, they'd try to complete a pass on third down, and it wouldn't go.
Yeah, well, they did hold Kansas State's offense for the most part. Jesse Ertz did run the football fairly well, and Kansas State had 2 touchdowns called back. One was a special teams,
right,
and one was an egregious defensive one that was called back because Kyle Shurmur fumbled that football.
Oh, no doubt.
I don't know how they thought there was enough evidence to overturn it. Like, Vanderbilt should have lost that game.
Everybody in the press box thought that it was coming back.
That Vanderbilt should have lost that game, and the whole block in the back on the punt return. Kansas, the guy who had the block in black did not have to do that, which is usually when those things happen.
You saw it this past Sunday with the Titans in Jacksonville. Or no, I'm sorry, that was against the Raiders. There was a stupid play where one of the Raiders players pushed Adoree Jackson out of bounds as Cordell Patterson was already guiding him out of bounds. Yeah. Like, it was totally unnecessary and egregious. But anyway, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, Vanderbilt Stevens looks pretty good. Alabama, the problem with them is they've lost a few linebackers, and that linebacker spot is typically, you know, where they make their money at. You think about Reuben Foster, Reggie Ragland, some of the great linebackers that play there, Rolando McClain, that played under Nick Saban in the last decade. And they don't really have any of those guys right now. Now, Sean Dion Hamilton's been pretty good so far this season. Losing, they lost with 2 linebackers in that first game against Florida State.
Yeah.
So that's the one thing. They're a young defense. They lost a ton of guys. Every year they lose a ton of guys in the NFL. They have a lot of guys back in the secondary led by Minkah Fitzpatrick, that safety who can basically do anything for them. But right now, yeah, Vanderbilt, they look pretty good. As soon as the tide in the whole tenure for Derek Mason changed once he decided to take over the defense. Once he took reins of that, he's one of the best defensive coordinators in college football.
He's incredible.
And he's
really a bright young mind in college football.
Yeah, and he's gotten them on the right track.
You remember when people were screaming for this guy's job because he wasn't immediately able to turn around a program that James Franklin left, you know, decimated.
Yeah. Well, and one of those things, too, when you think about it with defense, Alabama might have the most talent. And that's what people think, oh, Vander doesn't have the talent.
Right.
The defense is really just about discipline. If you're disciplined and if you you watch college football games. I mean, there's guys miss assignments all the time.
Make a tackle.
NFL, they don't miss assignments. And, like, the way Vanderbilt's defense runs, they just don't miss assignments. They don't miss tackles. They don't beat themselves. And that's one of the key things that has allowed Vanderbilt to be strong this year. Will they have the best defense at the end of the year? Probably not. But we'll see. We'll find out because Jalen Hurts has looked really good running the football this year. Hasn't looked that great throwing. Hasn't really needed to throw the ball.
No, I mean, he hasn't. They've been beating up on bad teams as well, besides Florida State. And the Florida State game, obviously, looked worse than it was.
Colorado State's an okay team who they just beat this past weekend.
Right. So it's not, I mean, when you look at this game, Jalen Hurts, you are going to be able to confuse him and fluster him because Alabama, he is a dynamic quarterback, but he is not an experienced quarterback. He's not A.J. McCarron. He's not going to make plays.
He does have plenty of experience after starting
as a true freshman
last year, and he led them to the national championship winning drive until Deshaun Watson led his own.
Yeah.
So he has a ton of experience, and he should get a little bit more credit than people are giving him.
That's probably not fair of me. People have been discounting him this year.
Well, I can understand why, because my concern is you saw late in the season against Clemson in that national championship game, even against Washington. I mean, Washington had 3 guys in their secondary who went to the NFL draft.
Yeah.
And Clemson also had, 2 or 3? So when they played against NFL caliber secondaries, he struggled.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just a system of him learning the offense. and he's still learning the offense. And we'll see. I don't think Vanderbilt really has any guys NFL caliber in a secondary, but we'll see
There was a Brown scout last Saturday. I saw him in the press box.
Well, and then week one against Florida State, Tavares McFadden, a cornerback there, and Derwin James, a safety. They're both going to be first-round picks.
Yeah.
And he struggled against them. And any championship caliber defense.
As anybody would.
Yeah.
As anybody would.
That's the one thing people are concerned about.
The game, I don't believe it's going to be a blowout.
It shouldn't be. And I think I fully expect Vanderbilt to be in this game midway through the third quarter.
And
then the dam will break.
Is that, as it typically does, Alabama wins much in the same way that the Titans are trying to. They're just going to run the ball, and they're going to bludgeon you to death. And it's just going to slowly, progressively get more and more out of hand as they beat you down.
As at some point on a 90-degree day on that Saturday, this Saturday, you're going to get tired of trying to track down Jalen Hurts. You're going to get tired of trying to tackle Damian Harris and Bo Scarborough and Najee Harris and and whoever else they bring out there. They just have Josh Jacobs, the other running back. They're just going to keep running it down their throat, and eventually Van will be like, we're done with this.
Right.
And
enough.
Scarborough or enough Harris will break it for 70 yards.
Scarborough is not a college student. That's a 30-year-old man back there running the football.
And the crazy thing about Bo Scarborough is he's not even the best running back. Like, I know everyone like looks at him as like, oh, he looks like Derrick Henry.
He looks like the Terminator.
Yeah, because they're both black and have dreads. He's automatically Derrick Henry. That's the way you perceive him.
And he's big. Don't forget big.
Yeah, but Damian Harris ran for 1,000 yards and was their best running back last year. And, like, it's incredible.
As I look at the rest of the college football slate, it's not a great one this weekend. But there are a couple of ranked teams that are on the road.
Whoa, this is a really good slate.
Really? Because I look at it, I'm not particularly impressed. You've got number 20 Florida on the road at Kentucky, number 8 Michigan at Purdue, which might be an interesting game. Mm-hmm. Number 4 Penn State at Iowa, which I think would be an interesting game, an entertaining game.
You don't just waltz into Iowa City and come out with a victory.
Number 15 Auburn at Missouri, obviously Bama here at Vanderbilt, and number 3 Oklahoma at Baylor.
Yeah, see, I think Texas A&M and Arkansas, basically, which coach will be on the hot seat? That's what more.
Do people just let Brett Bielema fly under the radar and say hugely inappropriate things and laugh at him? Mm-hmm. And that's just going to be the legacy of Brent Bielema.
Mm, basically, I'm excited about that game.
Getting on his wife jokes.
Mm-hmm. Arkansas is wearing Dallas Cowboy inspired uniforms for Jerry Jones, who almost cried when he saw the helmet. Mississippi State at Georgia will be a good one, I think. Upset alert: Syracuse going down to LSU.
Upset alert.
Yeah, upset alert.
Wait, is Geis playing?
I guess I don't really know.
I
haven't heard anything about the whole Range Rover picture with him and his mom.
I just saw the injury thing come across.
Oh, he's injured?
Yeah.
How convenient.
Well, wait, what are you talking about? I haven't seen this.
Oh, yeah. Really?
What?
He put out an Instagram last night of his mom with like a brand new white Range Rover, and he immediately took it down. So.
What?
Yeah, so injured.
Oh my god.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's happening.
The Julian Council is strong in him.
Yeah, so that happened. I
missed that.
Florida, Kentucky. Kentucky hasn't beaten Florida since 1986. Matt Jones from Kentucky Sports Radio is guaranteeing a victory.
Oh, man.
And he's saying the Kentucky Wildcats will be 6-0.
Your field is named after Kroger. You have no chance of being a legitimate football program.
At this point, 2 years ago, I thought they were going to get it done with Patty Ice, and they didn't.
Patty Ice?
I'm done predicting Kentucky beating Florida. I'm done.
Booger McFarland, dark horse in the East, Kentucky.
Yeah. Well, hey, they're going to be 6-0 if they win this game because they got Missouri and Eastern Michigan after this.
Oh,
I'm excited about NC State, Florida State. The Wolfpack will find a way to lose that in dramatic fashion. USC going to Cal. USC's been up and down.
Is USC any good?
That's a question.
I don't understand.
I don't know, because they barely beat Western Michigan.
This quarterback, I don't understand. All of these pro quarterbacks look awful.
No.
Look awful.
No, before I came
Sam
here.
Sam Darnold is not good.
No, he
You're
is.
Not, you know, yes, I don't believe it.
Yes.
Listen, it's not like I understand that the intricacies of football are lost on the lay people like ourselves, but I've been watching football to know long enough that I don't think this kid is good.
No, looks, dude, I was watching the tape. I looked at the tape.
I watched 1,000 hours of tape. Shut up, Jaws.
I was watching the tape today of USC and Texas. The throws that Sam Darnold could make It's incredible.
No, they're better than Scott Tolzien.
The throws he made a week ago against Stanford were incredible. The guy can spin it, but he's thrown six picks.
Yeah, I don't understand. I don't see what you're seeing.
Are they good? I'm not really sure because they barely beat Western Michigan. They blew out Stanford. And in Texas, came and almost beat them. So I'm not really sure.
Okay, very good. Number five team in the country. Somebody thinks they are.
Cal, 3-0. Justin Wilcox, who
flying under the radar,
former Tennessee defensive coordinator, came from Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
California's playing defense now, and Ross Bowers, a quarterback's pretty good.
And people in the Pac-12 don't know what to do about that.
Berkeley, turn up. Upset alert. I'm putting USC on upset
right,
alert.
Right on.
I'm excited about that one. TCU at Oklahoma State. Purdue, who knows? Maybe they can beat Michigan. Notre Dame, Michigan.
Jeff Brohm. What the hell is going on there?
So I was at Louisville, Clemson this weekend.
Are they already talking about him parlaying this into a bigger job?
Yeah.
Tennessee.
I asked
Jeff Brohm to Tennessee.
I looked up and he's in the Ring of Honor, one of the guys who's, I guess, numbers retired or something like that. But I was talking to the guy next to me and I was like, hey, so you think when Petrino's out of here, you'll bring back Jeff Brohm? He's like, yeah, I think maybe, possibly.
Yep.
And I get on the radio after the game and people are mad as hell. They want to fire Petrino.
Fire Bobby Petrino.
And they're like, we need to fire him and bring Jeff Brohm in now. I was like, so let me get this straight.
Midseason.
The guy who coaches Purdue, who you just beat 2 weeks ago, you want to coach over Bobby Petrino.
That's right.
Awesome.
That's right.
So maybe, who knows? Washington, Colorado. I'm so excited about this.
Really?
My Buffs. What?
My Buffs.
Steven Montez. He's been terrific at quarterback so far. Phillip Lindsay, back-to-back 1,000-yard receiving rushing seasons. Shea Fields, Bryce Bobo, the Buff. Watch out. I understand Jim Leavitt, the defensive coordinator, went to Oregon. Watch out. The Buffs are playing some defense. And Boulder is going to be lit.
If you want any more college football takes, and the man Julian Council has them all, you can check out his college football tailgate show with Jared Stillman. Saturday mornings.
Lastly.
From 10 to noon.
Lastly, one more Pac-12 After Dark, 9:30, local time, UCLA at Stanford, Jim Moore Jr. fighting this coaching for his job. If he loses to Stanford, he's done.
Just as he's given you what you should watch from the college football season, Julian Council will, on the other side, give you his list of alternative programming as we continue our show boycott of the NFL. We'll do that and make our sweet justice picks as we head into the weekend. You're listening to Technically Foul, the podcast, on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Keeping you entertained.
A little extra pep in your step.
On the drive to work. With the info you need on your team.
There's a slow build with the Titans.
Tune in weekday mornings at 6 to Braden and Fitz on Nashville's best sports talk.
ESPN
102.5 The Game.
Julian Council.
You Rider. Whipped piece of crap. So I drove all the way up to Louisville. Got too drunk and was too hungover that I just can't go to the Derby. So I decided to drive 2.5 hours back home to go to a wedding with a girl I'm no longer with.
Buck Rising.
What a waste. You are a waste of human. You know what you are? You are human tennis elbow. You are the pizza burn on the roof of the world's mouth. You are the opposite of Batman. I hate you. Everything that you are, everything you stand for, I hate you. And I will never hate you more than I hate you right now.
This is Technically Foul with Buck Rising and Julian Council.
Yeah.
Back here on Technically Foul.
Damn right, bro. 4
a.m. I'm just getting. Send you into the weekend with a little 2 Chainz. I do love this man. All right. How cheesy sports radio was that, by the way? I think I just nailed the landing. You weren't even paying attention. Mm-hmm. Get off your phone, for God's sakes. All right. Buck Rising with you, Julian Council across from me, and we get ready to send you into the weekend with our sweet justice picks. We will give you Julian Council's list of our alternative programming as we continue our show boycott of the NFL. Is it? Spirals slowly out of control. Yeah. Actually, not particularly slowly. That kind of happened all at once where the NFL just sucks.
Yeah, you won't find me watching Rams 49ers tonight.
Not a chance in hell. But before we get into that, okay, before we walked into the studio, just briefly, because I know we don't want to do any serious topics today, but Bleacher Report, I believe, first had the story. No, I'm sorry. I have it first from AP News. This from AP News about an hour ago. Aaron Hernandez, of course, the former Patriots tight end,
His lawyer is saying that Teschoe, former Patriots tight end, had severe case of degenerative brain disease, CTE. And at this point, we're all very familiar with CTE. We're all inundated with the CTE discussion and concussions and how it's affecting the play of football and what it's doing to the football players, this, that, and the other thing. It's well-versed at this point. But does it make you feel any differently about what Aaron Hernandez has done?
Did you know Carissa Thompson was here yesterday in Nashville?
Of Fox Sports?
Yeah.
No, I missed that.
Yeah, she was hanging out with Sarah Walsh.
What were we doing?
It looked like there was like some rooftop pool or something.
What the hell? I didn't get invited.
No, this is not exonerate Aaron Hernandez for killing.
Because I saw him immediately the tweet started rolling in. Don't blame Aaron Hernandez for the murder of Odin Lloyd. Blame football.
Didn't we draw the conclusion that he murdered Odin Lloyd because he knew that he was bisexual?
Right. Right. I mean, there's all kinds of factors that people are just blatantly ignoring, and it's easy to do. It's easy to do because now when you see these things that are going wrong with football players, your immediate reaction is, what's wrong with his brain?
Yeah. Well, it only makes the story, I mean, the story is already sad, dating back to when Odin Lloyd was killed, the loss of human life, and the fact that, or murdered, rather, and the fact that Aaron Hernandez took his own life in jail back in Massachusetts, and then when you dive in deeper and find out why the motive he would have had to kill Odin Lloyd, and that he was trying to hide who he really was. And that's kind of a sad thing that someone had to go about life having to hide who he truly was. And now you're seeing that CTE. I don't know what kind of role that may have played in it all, but the fact that his brain was deteriorated, it was at the age of like a 62-year-old.
And he's
at
27.
Age of 27
he's
when he 27. Died.
And that should hit home with us because we're 24. I mean, that's 3 years older than us. Yeah. And this guy's got the brain of a 62-year-old.
Well, I haven't hit my head like 1,000 times. But
I don't know. It's debatable.
Yeah. I did fall from, never mind. yeah, it's too bad for Aaron Hernandez, and I guess I don't really know how they're going to go about suing the Patriots. And
yeah, the family's now suing the Patriots and the league, and we'll get off this because there's really not much more that you can add, but it is.
I'll leave it to Lebitard. I'm sure he'll cover it tomorrow.
Oh, for sure. It is an interesting thing to consider as you're watching football, because football has always been, I mean, no, college basketball is my favorite sport, but football has started to supplant that, and I feel like I'm not alone. You know, as I've grown older and as I've become a bigger and bigger sports fan, professional football became one of my favorite sports. And now when you see everything that's going on with these guys, because, you can blame fans for not thinking of them as actual human beings, because especially now that where they're just commodities in fantasy football.
People yelling at Odell Beckham for not playing.
Yeah, I mean, just all kinds of nonsense. You have no idea what's going on in these guys' personal lives, and you have the Lawrence Timmons in Miami disappearing for a couple days, and now the team is making him see their team doctors, and it's got something to do with his son, and the team's upset because the most egregious thing you can do in football is not be there when you say you're going to be there. That's the big thing.
Did he ever say he was going to be there?
I mean, you know, it's assumed, and I understand why football teams treat that way. It's as if any job, you know, it's a no-call, no-show.
Well, I do respect the Ravens for at least allowing Sue Cravens to go deal with his personal stuff.
You mean the racial slurs, the Washington racial slurs?
Ah, yes, the racial slurs.
The Washington racial slurs.
You guys better be 9-6 playing for a chance to go to the playoffs.
Because you want to see Kirk Cousins throw a back-breaking interception.
I don't really want to see that.
And the future of Washington sports fans further spiraling into decay.
I just want to wake up in the morning and I want to listen to the junkies just talk about, we knew this was going to happen. It's going to happen with the Capitals. It's going to happen with, it happened last month with the Nationals. I just want to hear that.
So we'll move off of this now, but there is a moral conflict that comes with watching football. It's becoming more and more prevalent in the back of our heads. And I think that, you know, it may not, I don't know how it's going to change the viewing of football, but I know that I'm personally noticing it more. And so maybe you are too, maybe not. I don't know. Maybe do you just think just another guy who's next up on the depth chart? Anyway,
yeah.
Moving on.
Next man up.
Next man up,
that's,
baby.
That's what they taught us.
Next man up. Okay, so Julian Council, moving off the NFL. You are boycotting the NFL. We are boycotting the NFL as a show because of the poor play and because of Colin Kaepernick kneeling. Mm. We don't like any of it.
No,
we're with you, the people. And so we will give you Julian Council's list of alternative programming
heading into the football.
Yeah, weekend. I will not. Let's add another one to the list. I will not. And I tell you, will not watch a single NFL game until the Bills Mafia stops breaking tables.
No, that's the best. That's the only entertaining part of NFL Sunday.
Well, I don't like it. I think it's criminal activity. It is property damage.
Degenerates.
It needs to stop.
Mm-hmm.
Quell your drinking, Buffalo.
Yeah.
So I will not watch another football game until it's over.
Nope. You're offending my delicate sensibilities. Mm-hmm. You and Colin Kaepernick and everything else that's making me turn off football.
Tonight, Thursday Jesus. Night, there will be Rams 49ers. You can watch it on Amazon, I believe. And you can also watch it on NFL
Yahoo.
Network.
On Yahoo.
Whatever.
I won't be watching it anyway.
Doesn't matter. I suggest you watch anything. I don't really care. Turn on and see what's on CBS. I think Big Brother's on tonight. Go to ABC. Watch anything else. I don't really know what you should watch. Maybe you should pop on some Netflix. I hear Friday Night Lights is going off of Netflix next month. It's a terrible show, but go watch that, I guess. It's better than actually watching football since it's basically the same thing. A really crappy show and that portrays football instead of watching actual crappy portrayal of football.
So bitter.
Let's see. Sunday, the Tour Championship.
Ah.
Yes, the Tour Championship at East Lake Golf Club in Atlanta, Georgia, will be going on. I think Jordan Spieth will be trying to win the FedEx Cup along with guys like Justin Thomas and other dudes who play golf. So you can watch that, I believe, on CBS or NBC. Not really sure. Sunday night, instead of watching Sunday Night Football, and you're going to have to wait, but you can watch Veep. You can also watch Vice Principals, which I love, with Danny McBride on HBO.
It's Kenny Powers' reboot, but it makes me happy nonetheless.
And Monday night, not really sure who plays Monday night, but I'm pretty sure.
It's going to be bad either way.
One of the few guarantees in life, along with death, taxes, NC State losing a heartbreaking football game, and Notre Dame being overrated in college football. Guy Fieri and his Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives having a marathon on a Monday night opposite of Monday Night Football.
Tune in for the hairstyle alone.
Yeah, so there's your alternate programming guide. Or you just go on TV Land. I'm sure Gilligan's Island or Golden Girls or something's on.
All right, as we prepare to head into the football weekend, we, of course, play our game, Sweet Justice. Sweet Justice is where Julian and I pick teams at random out of a bucket. In our case, a green jack-o'-lantern bucket that Julian Council protests every time I pull
Why
it
out. Why is it not a cauldron?
I don't know what to tell you. This is what they had at J. Michael's.
Oh, my God.
This is what we have to deal with. So,
give it to
cue
me.
The music. We will begin the picking of the teams at random. Of course, if the team loses, we must perform some public shame. I still have an outstanding debt. I must get my legs waxed. Julian Council is undefeated on the season, but that is sure to change as he reaches into the bucket of death. No, you don't get to hold it. Reach in there. I don't trust you.
I'm scared.
He's rummaging his damn bucket. I hate this game. I can't believe I still have to go get my legs waxed.
Oh my gosh, I'm so scared.
Don't peek.
Can I look now?
What do you got?
Oh my God.
What do you got? What you got?
Yes, I got the Colts and they're playing the Browns.
Oh,
come on.
No.
Come on, Jacoby Brissett.
You cannot feel safe about
they're
that.
They're at home.
The Indian. Aren't they? They're a home dog.
I don't care.
They?
I don't care.
Aren't the Browns favored in Indianapolis?
Yes, but I got the Colts playing the Browns. If there's ever a time to get the Colts, it's when they play the Browns.
If you go 3-0 on the season, I give up. I give up. All right. So I'm rummaging in the bucket. I'm reaching at random for a team that's probably going to fail me yet again. I got bailed the hell out because the Atlanta Falcons almost blew a lead against the Green Bay Packers and saved my butt at the last second. So I have chosen the Cardinals of Arizona and a washed Carson Palmer. Who are the Cardinals playing this weekend? I don't have any confidence in that team.
The Cardinals are playing.
Isn't Chris Johnson still their lead back?
Where are they? Yeah. Oh, they are playing on Monday night against Dallas.
Oh, good. Good. Oh, I'm sure they're not going to. Dallas isn't going to want to come back.
It's strong. In Arizona.
I'm sure Dallas isn't going to want to make a statement in that game after getting smacked by the Denver Broncos. So I feel very good about Carson Palmer and the Arizona Cardinals. All right.
Colts almost beat Arizona, so I don't know.
That is Sweet Justice for the weekend. We will, of course, have to make sure or pray to the sweet football gods above that these teams win this weekend so that we will not have to go
the Colts
to the board of Sweet, Sweet Justice. All right, that'll do it for us today. I'd like to thank you for listening to this episode of Technically Foul. Remember to subscribe and listen to new and archived episodes wherever you listen to the show. You can find us on SoundCloud, Stitcher, TuneIn, and in the iTunes store, anywhere that podcasts are available.
Remember to rate and review the show in iTunes. It helps the metrics, helps boost us up the charts, and we greatly appreciate you doing so and greatly appreciate you all sharing the show. We see the numbers growing every day, so we thank you for doing that. So, for Julian Council, I'm Buck Rising. Stay hot, Nashville. We'll talk to you Tuesday right here on Technically Foul.
Jacoby, you're my only hope. Well, you could get to know me, but you already know I want to get to know you. What's your name?
What's your name? The best game.
Watson throws for a touchdown!
Deep downfield on the catch, and they're going to say the catch was made.
With the best voices.
Touchdown, Alabama!
Nashville's best sports talk.
ESPN
102.5 The Game.